Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Tonight on The Bachelor, Hannah B. gets herself into some hot water during a very drunk Instagram Live and apologizes with a fragment of a sentence. Then we celebrate the finale of Listen to Your Heart by hoping the winners never get their prize of going on a lackluster tour. Plus, did Taye Diggs forget that his ex-wife originated several major Broadway and motion picture roles? Seems like it. All that and more. It's our most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay.
And I am Fat Carrie.
I don't know why I say Kay. Should I just say like Kay York City at this point?
I mean, I just said Fat Carrie as though it's my legal first name. So,
I mean, it is.
I mean, it is. I was born Fat Carrie Bradshaw and then picked up the name Chris Burns in high school. But
You have the tattoo.
Yeah, I was born with it, actually. It was a birthmark, and I just ran with
it. You're like, you know what? My birthmark says Fat Carrie. This is me now.
Boy, what a week.
What a week. So we're back again, Bachelor Quarantine, week 3,000.
3,005.
3,005. I've lost track at this point, but make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, and you can follow us on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. We'll be live memeing and tweeting whenever there's a show on, and obviously giving you all of our thoughts on what's happening in Bachelor Nation.
Amen.
So we're going to like have to touch on this very sensitive topic right now, but I think it's very important that we do. It must be done. So, which I know a lot of you know already, but our good friend Hannah B. Made a very large mistake on her Instagram Live the other night, and was singing a TikTok song. First of all, I feel so bad for the people who actually like write this music to be music and then ends up going on TikTok and now it's just a TikTok song and not actual music.
Can you imagine? like dreaming your whole life of finally getting a hit song and then it's just a TikTok song?
And then people only know it because of TikTok and they're like hitting the well. Anyways, so she was on her Instagram Live clearly inebriated and doing this TikTok dance that everybody's doing. And she was singing the lyrics, and the lyrics required the N-word. So before we get into this, I totally think you should take a listen to Rachel Lindsay's IGTV. She went on Instagram Live and did a whole IGTV on how she was feeling about this situation. And it's actually, I'm not a huge Rachel Lindsay fan, but this was very educational. And I think, people need to listen to this more because,
and she's also, I mean, like Rachel Lindsay is a lawyer. She's a smart woman.
She's not an idiot. So the thing about the everything that makes me angry, obviously she said it, but after, when she was still on Instagram Live, people were like, oh my God, you said this, blah, 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 like coming at her. And her instinct was to just be like, wait, I did, and kind of laughed it off. And
like her friend saw what was happening. It felt like the one that was like in the video with her.
Yes.
Was like, no, 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 bitch. Like, you did not want to just do what you just did.
Right.
The sentence I got.
Her friend goes, oh, that was Brooke who said it. And then Hannah was like, well, maybe it was Patrick. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I see what they're doing. They're trying to save the situation, to pretend like Hannah did not say it, even though
Listen, we watched it come out of her mouth.
We watched it. Bachelor Nation, if anything, is consistent, and they will make sure they have the receipts for anything and everything. If you are someone who's been on The Bachelor and you are going on Instagram Live, please know that there are probably 300 people screen recording this.
Yeah.
Just in case you do something like this. So, like, this is facts. So they tried to say, oh, it was this person who said it. Oh, it was that person who said it. But in my mind, that's, you clearly are comfortable with other people saying it.
Yeah.
Like you, it was Brooke who said it. Okay. But how are you not upset that Brooke said it or that Patrick said it? Like, this is clearly a word that you're comfortable saying, whether it's on Instagram Live or not.
We also watched the words come out of her mouth. That's the part that I'm like, no, we saw you say it. Your mouth just happened to perfectly lip sync the word that your male friend Patrick said, who has your voice.
Right. And then she proceeded to say, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't think I said it. I really don't think I said that word. We're not allowed to say that word. First of all, no, you're not allowed to say that word. But in like a whole like, why would you even want to say that word? And if I were to say something offensive, I would know immediately. I would know, like, I would say it and then be like, oh shit. Like, I just, like, you would know instinctively. The fact that she did not even realize that she said it is sort of, it makes it feel so casual.
And something she does so often.
Yeah, like she just like breezed over it as if we're having a conversation right now about anything. And you're like, oh, I forgot I told you that one part of the story. Like, it's very bad. And I'm not saying Hannah Brown is a racist at all.
No. But she said it.
And the apology was super half-assed. And I was personally offended by this, and I know so many other people were. This is the quote that Rachel Lindsay said. She says, if you're bold enough to say the N-word on camera, then you need to be bold enough to use your face on camera and apologize the same way you said the word, which I think is so true. Because if you have this confidence and, like, you know, you're bold enough to say it, whether you realize it or not, still alarming. You should be able to come on camera again and address your actions and not just put like a little thing that you typed up into your Instagram story being like, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do better. It's like, yes, yeah, also, I hope, like, you're going to do better.
And it was like a one sentence, not even apology. Right. It was like a fragment of a sentence.
I'm just very disappointed in Hannah because she was supposed to be the best of us.
She was the people's queen.
She was. And I'm not saying that she's canceled or, like I said, I'm not saying that she's racist, but I am saying that what she did was super offensive and not okay. And we've been seeing a lot of comments about, you know, defending her, but I really think we need to stop defending Hannah B. And Tyler Cameron was another person who defended her, which I understand he's like running to her side because they're friends and whatnot. But the last thing we need is a white man.
Wait, what did he say?
Tyler said, in these moments, you have the opportunity to bury someone or lift them up. We need to lift Hannah B up from this. I love Tyler, but the last thing we need is a white man saying we need to support her right now.
Like, I don't understand. Like, it is, I'm like speechless because what does she need to be lifted from?
Yeah, she's almost playing the victim.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, she made a mistake, everybody. Like, she needs to just own the shit. I understand him being like, she made this mistake. Let's not crucify her. as a racist.
Right.
But like what she did, she's not racist, but what she said was, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure. But I just feel like we needed to talk about that. I know a lot of people are going to be very angry with what we've said, but that's just, that's the fucking tea. And as a woman of color, I am very offended by what she said. I do love Hannah Brown, but I think there needs to be, I hope a lesson has come from this, and I hope that she apologizes in a better way.
Yeah, in a sincere way. It's hard to read sincerity through a fragment of a sentence on an Insta story.
It's the story that's gone away in 24 hours.
But come for us in the reviews.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you are a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves, and it's designed to work with your body and not against it. You won't have to worry about it rolling down thanks to the flexible boning that is hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Okay, so on a sort of lighter note, the Listen to Your Heart finale happened last night.
It sure did.
And this was not how I was picturing it. I feel like this is all very abrupt.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that the show just... I feel like if the ratings had been really good, they would have stretched things out more or something. Because, like, normal Bachelor, it's like, okay, we're going to do 6 hours for the finale. And this just
literally felt six.
Literally. It just felt very rushed to me.
The whole season felt rushed. And we've been saying this in the past episodes that we feel like we're missing huge fragments of the show and the storyline because they're trying to fit it into six episodes. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I understand because like Winter Games was only four weeks?
Yeah. Winter Games also, they weren't like also having a song competition.
Right.
Like Winter Games was more of like a Big Brother situation where they all were just like stuck inside.
And like doing Olympic games, but that's it.
So we start with all three couples are like still in the house and Chris Harrison comes and they try to humanize Chris by him clearing his throat. And then
I thought about that too. I was like, does Chris even get phlegm? Like I feel like he's never...
No. I'm convinced, Chris, they just, like, plug in at night in the back. Like, there's, like, a charging dock in one of the closets, and they just pop him in there at night.
Next to his Tesla or something.
And he says, basically, like, if you're going to perform two songs, and when you step off the stage, like, get ready to start your life together. And again, all of these people take it as, like... contractually binding that they have to be together for the rest of their life if they could go through with this finale.
Right. And you see that the second Chris says that, you see that in Matt's eyes, like, oh my God, like, I don't know if I can do this with Rudy. And he says to her, hey, can we talk after all of this? Like, as if this really is the make or break for the rest of, like, he's going to be standing at the altar, saying his vows.
Yeah. Well, yes. And I didn't understand because he kept being like, I care for Rudy so much. She doesn't even understand how much I care for her. I'm like, you don't, though. Like,
you don't.
The tea is that you don't like her. And I think he's a nice guy who just didn't like her. Like, you can't make yourself like someone like that. But, like, also, I don't know. If I was him, I would have been like, found a moment without cameras. I'm like, listen, this is the deal. If you want, we can fake it and win the show and go on tour. That's what I would have done.
Like, write a little note, pass it to her and be like, let's, like, do this shit. Because they could have won.
Rudy was so good at singing. And that's why I was so... And then she gets Whitney Houston. They tell us that Rudy's going to sing Whitney Houston and then they break her heart. Give me a break.
I was so ready for that. So, Chris tells them all of that, you know, and we're going to Nashville. Oh, are they already in Nashville?
They're in Nashville.
They already are in Nashville, right? Because they took a plane. I remember seeing that at the beginning of the episode and being like, oh, how sensible, a plane instead of taking four tour buses. But they ended up getting one of the tour buses to Nashville, or they just like bought a new one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some poor like PA had to drive it from California to Tennessee. Jamie is living her finest life this whole episode, I feel like.
Yeah, this is Jamie is thriving, just to be torn down at the end. But she was like, you know, Trevor is going to move here because, you know, I already live here. I live here already. And, you know, we're ready to start our lives together and this and that. How?
Okay. Here's the thing about our friend Jamie. She has the young, wide-eyed exuberance of a 21-year-old that has not been served life cold hard on a platter just yet. Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, she just, in some ways, I'm, like, jealous of her because she doesn't have the bitterness of even like Rudy. Rudy's 24, but Rudy, you can tell, has lived a little, okay? Like, she knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whereas Jamie, I feel like, is just all rainbows and butterflies. And even when Chris was like, I feel like this is a new woman that is, like, she went from being so scared on stage to this natural. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like she's putting way too much confidence in being with someone else.
She is, because, you know, she, everything that she says that's positive about herself is attached to him.
Yeah.
Everything Trevor. That she says is attached to Trevor. And it's never like, you know what? I'm amazing. I can do this myself. But it's like, we can do this together because I'm with him and because we have this, because we, it's never like, she's never hyping just herself up, which I find sad because I think she's super, super talented.
Yeah. Oh, I think give her a couple more years to season, to marinate, and she'll be ready to pop out the oven. Like, the things with Trevor, and then she's like, he's moving to Nashville for me. And I'm like, it also just so happens to be the music capital of the world. Like, it's a good move for somebody that sings country to live in Nashville. I don't know. The thing, I like Jamie. She's too young to be doing this, like, relationship. I don't know, because it's such a weird thing that's never happened. Like, to get famous for singing and for...
Falling in love.
It's like... I want Rudy and Matt, you know, like Fleetwood Mac, they would like date and have sex and hate each other. And they made amazing music. That's what I want from Matt.
I want a little bit of toxicity in there.
Exactly. I guess that's what I'm saying. And that makes me a monster. And I understand that.
No, but that's another thing with like Chris and Brie, who are talking about, you know, wanting kids and getting married and all of this stuff. And I do love Chris and Brie. Like, I'm glad that they're happy together. They do have a genuine connection. But But
I just yawned and I did it both by nature and for comedic value.
That was so funny. but, you know, there's nothing going on with them to make me think like they're willing to fight for this. It's like, yeah, they're, you have to have a little bit of pushback here and there in a couple, I feel like, to, you know, push each other and to like go the extra mile and to know that like, hey, I'm in this and have these like conversations. It can't all just be like light and fluffy and rainbows and butterflies all
especially,
the time.
Especially, and there needs to be some kind of like, something that makes them, what am I trying to say? Something that makes them fight. Like, there's no bump in the road, then they're not, like, I feel like the first
there's
bump
no
in the
obstacles.
Road, that when, yeah, like, the first fight, I feel like they'll just, like, break up because they don't know how to.
Right, which is a lot of, that's one thing that I've found in, you know, long distance couples or whatever. Like, I wasn't obviously in a long distance relationship, but I think, you know, the first like couple months that you're together and you're just seeing each other here and there, it's hard to get into the real stuff because every time you see each other, you're like on like a vacation or you're, it always has to be the best that it can be because you only have this amount of time. So you can't get into these like really heartfelt things or these like, you know, things that might cause an argument or get to know each other. And they're so soon into this relationship that they haven't gotten there yet either. And so when those couples finally get to that point where they're like, oh wait, I'm kind of mad or annoyed, they kind of panic.
Yeah.
And it's just not what they envisioned everything. It's not all amazing like they thought it was.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's like vacation boyfriend mentality where like, we'll make this work in the real world, but then the real world comes challenges and the vacation couple, you know, won't be able to really handle those challenges. And I think Chris and Bree, I think Bree was realizing that at the
end. She, like, I think she was too.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 perfume mist and Cheirosa 59 perfume mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 perfume mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHLER10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHLER10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHLER10.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So there's Fantasy Suites, which we didn't talk about yet. So they get the card for Fantasy Suite, and Jamie and Trevor are like, hell yeah, let's go bang. And I'm like, good for you. Right. Rudy and Matt didn't even get to the point of reading the card.
No, because she was literally like in the bed with pillows over her face, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that. I was obsessed with Rudy knowing that she was about to be broken up with, so she hid from it. I'm like, girl, I'm stealing that move. The second I feel like he's going to dump me, I'm hiding.
Yeah, just avoid it until you can't anymore.
It's like when your phone, when you get a text from someone and you know it's something bad and you're afraid to open it because you're like, if I don't read it, it's not real. That's what Rudy was doing in physical life.
If I don't read it, it never happens.
And then Chris and Bree do not go to the fantasy suites. And Bree says,
it's so weird.
So I didn't expect it for sure. Just from the way that they'd been acting, I was like, y'all haven't had sex yet? Because it seemed like they had. And I'm totally here for holding off on physicality shit. Like,
yeah.
I present myself. Yeah. I also am like weary of getting physical too quickly, I think sometimes. So I like get it. But I don't think Bree actually wanted that because Bree said she didn't want it. And Chris was like, I totally agree with you. And then the next morning, Brie was like, it's Oops. Weird that we didn't do that. And I'm like, I think she wanted like a little conversation.
Yeah. And he just went to, which I, you know, I'm glad that he was just like, great, I agree with you. And I think he's one to turn down like hooking up with her. He clearly like is in love with her, this and that.
Yeah.
But I think because she said, I think we should wait, he wanted to be like, I respect you and make her feel a little better about it and say, I agree. And not just totally. Like, okay, whatever you want. But like, oh, I agree to make it feel like, oh, it's a mutual thing. Yeah. I shouldn't.
Because if he had like been like, no, I think we should have sex and this is why. Everyone
would come for
viewers
him.
Included yeah would come for him
right
so the next morning I was confused when she was like something's off, I don't understand, like
I just think
because we didn't get physical and I'm like
I think so, and I think she was sort of regretting it, especially I guess she hadn't seen Trevor and Jamie yet because they were all over each other. It was too much.
I mean, that is a hot couple, though. I mean, both couples are hot couples. So I'm like, both couples will have beautiful children. Good for them.
Of course. But they were like all over each other. And then you keep flashing back to Bree and Chris in their music rehearsal. And the music director's like, okay, stop. We need to be like, what's going on here? Because the most important thing is your connection. It's like, okay, I thought you were directing the music, not my relationship.
Yeah. I feel like if I was in that situation, the last thing I'd be thinking about is my connection with the person.
Yeah.
Like I would be so nervous. Yes. I would be so nervous, but I would be like, we need to like get the music down, hit everything. And then we add in the acting.
That's how, like I do things like instead I'll learn my lines and stuff first, make sure I know those, and then I can add like the blocking and this and stuff and all the extras with it.
Yeah, it was just I don't know, I felt for Chris in certain points and for Bree and others, like I don't know who. It's just an awkward situation. Also, I'd like to point out that they were singing Make You Feel My Love by Bob Dylan. And whenever someone says, I love that song, Make You Feel My Love by Bob Dylan, I'm like, okay, we get it. Like, you're the type of person that likes the originals. Because right. People don't like to say, like, the only version I know is the Adele version. But then when they had the sheet music, it said on it, Make You Feel Adele. My Love by Adele. And I'm like, yeah, because Jamie's singing the Adele version. And I'm like, this is not, like, a remake from Bob Dylan. Like,
I know.
It's literally on Adele's album.
Exactly. Okay, so should we go back to the Rudy and Matt thing really quick?
Yeah, I'm running with Adele now.
I'm running with Adele. So before they get to the rehearsals and all the fantasy suite stuff, Matt and Rudy have their conversation. You know, Rudy's hiding out in the bed literally with pillows over her face.
I mean, been there.
I can't get over that. And Matt, you know, is ending the relationship with her saying, like, I'm seeing all these other couples and I just don't think that I am at that level and I don't think that I can get at that level with you. So I think the best thing for me to do is to go home. Like,
yeah.
And you said last night, you were like, God, this is so stupid. Cause she's looking at him like, we could have won this shit if you would just like,
yeah,
stop.
I feel like Rudy was on the wrong show. Put Rudy on The Voice. That should be the name of our, I'm like, I like hashtag last night, put Rudy on The Voice. Cause she is so good.
She's so good.
And I think that's the only thing that I'm really caring about in this show is the one that I love watching. Like when they gave her the Whitney Houston song, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. And then we didn't get to watch that because Matt had a panic attack.
Yeah. But you could tell Matt felt very bad, genuinely. But you could also tell he just didn't really have feelings for her. Like it just really seemed like he felt bad that he was the reason. He knew she would have won. I feel like she was so good. And even when he was like saying things, you could tell he's like, I have been feeling this way for a few weeks, but I like stayed so she could keep singing.
It's like, God, that first of all is an awful feeling, but this was the first time that we've sort of seen, you know, emotion from Matt, like genuine emotion. Like you said, I could tell that he was feeling bad about the situation, not necessarily because he liked her, because he didn't like her. It was just about like, I don't want to make this girl feel bad.
Yeah. It was very much, I like her as a person and she's very talented, but like the feelings aren't there. And I can, like, understand, like, if I don't have feelings for someone, I feel like I cannot fake it at all. So,
oh, I can't I get fake that. It.
But it's just, like, a shitty situation for all of us because we didn't get to see Rudy sing Whitney Houston.
I know. I agree.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So Matt and Rudy end up going home, and the funniest part / saddest part about that whole thing is that, you know, they're walking out to their two separate SUVs and then you have the music playing in the background and it's them singing their Tennessee Whiskey song. Not like the actual artist, but Rudy and Matt are getting sent home to their music.
Savage. Like the editors are savage. I don't know. I just hope we get to see Rudy again, not in paradise, in a singing competition.
I really hope that they take these people from this show and bring them to paradise, you know, whenever paradise happens.
I would love to see Matt in paradise. I mean,
I would love to see Jamie in paradise.
Oh, I will thrive to see Jamie in paradise. Imagine Jamie and the twins like hanging out in paradise.
Hope the twins do not come back again. Can you imagine just to like wreak havoc on everyone, not to find love, but to just terrorize the place?
Yeah, like secretly they're just there like the puppet masters.
Oh yeah.
But then we get the performances. Who are the guest judges again?
So we have Tay Diggs, Jewel, Caitlin Bristow, and Jason Tardik, and pre-COVID Rita Wilson.
Oh, God bless. Yes, Rita Wilson was there. Bizarre.
I said to Chris last night, I was like, I wonder If ABC made sure Rita Wilson got COVID so she'd become more relevant, so when the show airs, people knows who, people like remember who she is.
Like Chris Harrison chased her down with a shot of COVID.
Hey, take this really quick.
Hey, Rita. Oh, sorry. Did I pinch a girl?
Yeah. So that is because I obviously know who Rita Wilson is. She's married to Tom Hanks.
For like 30 some odd years now.
Yeah. Like,
but I didn't know she was a musician.
Neither did I. And I know
I looked it up too. I looked up Rita Wilson hit songs and there really aren't any.
I know. So she's not like, she's not this, I mean, maybe she is. And we're going to get like blasted for saying this, but I don't.
Listen, I'm here for country music. I love country. I'll look her up and I'll listen and I will give Rita Wilson a fair shot.
I mean, she was so fun last night on the show. She was super sweet. Like, I want her to be like my mom.
Oh yeah. I love her. Like, I love think her. America loves her. I just didn't know she was a singer.
So she shows up as well. So we have Taye Diggs, Jewel, Rita Wilson. I love that Jewel is there looking very boho as she does on brand.
Jewel, I have like always had a weird obsession with Jewel. Did you know her parents have a reality show?
What?
On like on some obscure network, and they don't even like talk about how their daughter is Jewel, but she like grew up off the grid in Alaska. And her parents still live that way. And there's like a reality show about her parents living off the grid in Alaska.
I did not know this.
And my parents like were watching it and I was like, wait, is that a picture of Jewel on the wall? And my mom's like, oh yeah, their daughter's like someone I think kind of famous. And I looked it up and it's Jewel.
Oh, I was not prepared for that.
And then Taye Diggs,
who was acting, I love Taye Diggs.
He was living for those performances.
Oh, living. I know when Chris and Brie were singing, he was like, I would pay to see this. He was like, I don't even know who you guys are and I would pay money. And I'm like, what?
I know. I thought, because Taye Diggs is a brilliant singer.
Oh, of course. He was married to Idina Menzel.
I know. That's why when he was like acting so impressed, I'm like, your wife originated the
Let It Go
song.
Oh, Wicked. Yeah,
Let It Go also. I didn't even think about Let It Go.
Let It Go.
Like, she's the voice of Let It Go and originated possibly
Defying
one of
Gravity.
The biggest songs on Broadway of all time. Like, Defying Gravity that people still pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to see someone sing. And I'm like, and you're impressed by Jamie? Okay.
By Jamie. I mean, fine.
Good. I stay down to earth.
Stay humble.
Stay humble, Tay.
But yeah, so, oh God, I forgot about Idina Menzel and being that.
And Rent. She has originated so many roles.
Oh my God, Rent. How did we not?
She was original cast of Wicked, original cast of Rent on Broadway, and the voice of the
Elsa.
She has had quite the career.
Quite the career.
Wow,
oh, and she
her.
Was in remember that movie Enchanted with Amy Adams? She was the wife, Patrick Dempsey's or girlfriend or whatever.
Yes. Oh, she has. And the movie Rent with Taye Diggs.
Yes. Oh right. Taye Diggs was in that.
He was the bad guy, remember, that wants to kick him out?
Benny.
Yes. But he sang in that and he was so good. Wow. Tay, if you're listening, big fans.
Big fan, huge fan. But back to the performances. Yeah. We started out with wow, we spiraled. We started out with Jamie and Trevor. And she was like, she said at the beginning of it, she goes, my dream is to, you know, be on tour and to perform with Trevor. And I'm feeling so much closer to that dream every day. And I'm like, that is your dream?
Like, I want her to end that sentence on to be on tour and to perform.
Not with Trevor.
And I give you all the respect in the world.
It does not need to end with Trevor.
I mean, the producers are standing there being like, it has to end with Trevor.
Right. But, you know, they get up there. She's been having, like we said earlier, like the best episode ever. She's thriving. Her and Trevor are clearly like hit the peak in their relationship. So it's all downhill from there. You know, their performances, actually, both of their songs were very, very good.
Yeah. No, they weren't bad by any means. It just felt, I was just bitter because Rudy was not there.
Yeah. And Jason Tardik gave a really funny critique because, you know, Jason should be critiquing singing.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know what? You leaned on her. And that says like so much about your relationship. And I'm like, what does that have
what
to do?
What does it say?
Anything.
That's what I want. I want somebody on stage to ask clarifying questions.
Yeah.
I want someone to be like, what exactly does that have to do with the relationship?
With anything. And Caitlin Bristow actually just came out with a song.
How bizarre.
That it enters like the top two on like the iTunes chart, and her song is called I'm Just Being Honest, which did any of us know that Caitlin Bristow was a singer?
Is she good? Have you listened to it?
I listened to it and it's not bad, but it sounds very much like I'm an actress that
like when Real Housewife makes a song.
Yeah, like I can kind of sing. Like she's not a terrible singer, but it's definitely like speak singy.
Yeah, like a drag queen. Like there's all the RuPaul's Drag Race girls like make these songs, and it's like they can't sing, but they're fun songs.
They're fun songs. She doesn't sound bad. It's like a Selena Gomez. Like Selena Gomez should never sing live.
Yeah, like. Yes. Okay. Got it.
And all of her stuff is very like, pretty easy to sing. This is not like a Demi Lovato song. This is not like a Beyonce song. This is very much like basic bass level.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I just didn't know part of her life.
I mean, good for her. Take your moment. Take your shot.
I thought it was a joke. I mean, not. This has nothing to do with Caitlin Bristow because I think she's great, but I thought it was a joke at first. Like I was like, oh, she came out with a song. Like maybe this is a fun like parody because Listen to Your Hearts out. She's getting ready to be on it, but this was for real. And I mean, good for her.
Yeah. Good for her. She's probably been wanting to do it forever. So,
I mean, great time to drop a song.
Yeah. Good for her.
Good for her.
But then so the judges like lived for all the performances.
Yeah, there weren't any like real bad reviews. There was one where, so when Chris and Brie were up on stage, first of all, they were actually like, I loved watching them, and you literally can see that they care about each other when they're singing to each other, which is nice. But Jules said,
also, you know, Brie, they showed Brie doing her own makeup before the concert. And I would have assumed someone else did her makeup. The bitch can beat that face. She looks
beat
stunning.
Beat the face. Stunning. Brie is gorgeous.
Very gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
her nose contour, you could like cut a diamond with. I was obsessed.
So you have, but Jules said something about Brie's performance. She was like, you know, Brie, I just wanted you to have a little more energy, which I agree with. I agree with that so much because Brie and Chris are kind of just, yes, you can see their relationship on stage, but they're not fun to watch. Like they're just looking at each other. They don't really veer off into the audience at all. They don't include you in the performance. It's kind of just, it's a little boring.
And I feel like they're too concerned about each other. Like as an audience member, I'm like, I want you to like perform.
I want you to notice that we're out here and I want you to like give it.
And people, I'm like, no, like you don't need to be giving like Lady Gaga, Beyonce concerts. But like if you watch Adele, for example, she stands behind a mic and doesn't dance at all, but like commands the room with her presence.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I just don't get that from.
What's that? Sia is the singer who doesn't show her face at all. Yeah. I saw her in concert.
Oh my God.
I saw her in concert at Barclays like 2 years ago. It was like two something years ago. And it was, first of all, her music is amazing. But second of all, it was
she's so amazing.
Strangest performance I've ever seen. Because so Maddie Ziegler, the dancer, was on tour with her at the time.
Who she has like in all of her music videos.
Right. It's that little girl dancer who's like 16 now.
She's the girl who was on Dance Moms, who was always at the top of the pyramid, and everyone was like, Maddie's mom thinks she's better than everybody. And then it was like, well... That's the tea.
Well, so. There and here we are. But so she was on tour with Maddie Ziegler was on tour with her, and it was a dance show with like to see us singing, essentially. Like that's what the concert was, because she stood in the back corner of the stage and like no spotlight at all in her weird costume that like covered her face, and just stood there and sang the whole time while the dancers did everything. Like,
yeah, that's how she, even like if you've seen her on at award shows, that's how they do it.
It's so, I mean, I guess she wants like the music to speak for itself and not have it blinded by the person.
I've seen it. She says that she has like crazy anxiety and doesn't want people to like know who she is or know that she's like.
Do we know what she looks like?
You can look it up, because she was like a... really, really popular songwriter before she was famous. She wrote for like Beyonce and Rihanna and like,
oh, okay, okay,
like she wrote Diamonds, and she wrote
right, all kinds of crazy songs.
And her album, the newest album, is all songs that she wrote for big stars that decided not to buy them, so she just recorded them herself.
That's wild. I'm going to have to look her up after this. But yeah, so that was just a very bizarre performance. I don't even know how I got there. But okay, so they end up doing the elimination or the finale in front of the live audience, which I don't think they've ever done before. It's usually just like after the final rose or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was so abrupt. Like all of a sudden, Chris comes out on stage. He goes, okay, we're going to announce the winner now. I'm like, wait, they just got done singing. Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't this be a new episode? I'm glad it's not, but shouldn't it be?
And I'm like, Rita Wilson and Jewel decide who wins?
That's what, okay. And so Chris is like, okay, the next names that I'm going to read off are going to be the winners of Listen to Your Heart. And so Brie and Chris win, and immediately, you know, everybody like rushes the stage, gives them hugs. And Chris goes, all right, Jamie and Trevor, you guys can go on home. Like kicks them off.
I forgot like, about that.
Kicks them off the stage. Like it was like, okay, now that like, okay, you guys need to go home now. Your Uber's outside.
Yeah. Good thing Jamie's dad was in the audience to drive them home afterwards.
I was like, okay, well that's at least let them like stay and party.
Even on American Idol, they don't do that to the loser.
Yeah, they sent them home.
It was, yeah, you're right. That was a bizarre.
It was very strange. I don't know if I loved that. But then you see, you know, Chris and Brie walking outside. Brie is barefoot.
Listen.
Walking outside in like downtown Nashville, which... Maybe it's just like the climate we're in right now, but like I would never walk on any city street barefoot. She's going to have to like cut her feet off by the end of
I wonder where she's from, because people that aren't from, like, because we live in New York, we're like, oh my God, someone's like, walking.
The thought of that makes me want to die.
Yeah, but other places are like clean. So maybe she's like, thinking
downtown Nashville,
or just not thinking at all. You're maybe gonna just need not a tetanus shot.
Right, so they get on their tour bus, she gets a tetanus shot, and and I guess they're supposed to be going out on tour, but you guys, I don't think they're out on tour.
Yeah.
I don't know like what they're gonna do with this. Is there gonna be like a reunion episode? But I don't think there is.
I don't. My thing is also with Chris and Brie, like, who's going to a full concert of that?
No.
If
nobody's looking at our tweets on Twitter, nobody's going to a concert of Chris and Marie.
I'd go see Rudy.
Rudy, you got my ears perked up.
Listen, Rudy, you go on a tour, girl. I'll be there after COVID.
Honestly, idea. Natasha and Rudy. go on tour together.
Oh my God, double header. Matt can play guitar. Matt and Ryan can play guitar.
And piano.
They have half the band.
Ryan's on piano, Matt's on guitar, and then you have, they are the band.
Iconic. Yes, I would see that. I can already see the signs, Natasha and Rudy.
All right, guys. Well, that was our final recap of Bachelor Listen to Your Heart. We will be back next week for a special episode, and we'll be obviously continuing our episodes until June 8th when they start The Bachelor Most Unbelievable.
Yeah, which will be fun. We're going to get to do a whole season every episode.
Which, yeah, that'll be super fun. But we will be continuing episodes until June 8th, so make sure you guys are tuning in. But until then, we will talk to you guys later.
Justice for Rudy.
Bye.
Betches.